I believe there was one word that was in each song. Does anyone know what it was? There was one word that was common in all the songs. What? Love? It might have been love. Probably love. I noticed heart. I noticed the word heart. But probably love and heart. But that is just great to give your heart to the Lord and worship Him in spirit and truth. And now we're going to jump into the Word, the Bible. 2 Timothy, near the end of the Bible, a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. It's probably the last letter that Paul wrote that's recorded in the Bible here. It's really a lot of wisdom that Paul is giving to Timothy. In chapter 3, there's three things that he points out that Timothy needs to know. And Jason's done a study of the word know and knowledge in the Bible. I'm curious to what this is. I didn't look up what the original, the Greek, is, but I'd be curious to know that. But I didn't do that. But there's three things that he wants us to know, and when we know something, it produces action. Or it can produce action. And that's what he's saying. I want you to know this so that you can do something. If there is a cake, a piece of cake, your favorite piece of cake, and somebody gives it to you and like, oh, I'm going to eat this. I'm going to eat this right up. And then somebody else comes over and says, you know what? I saw somebody put poison in that cake. Well, that knowledge is going to change your decision. Are you going to eat it still, or are you not going to eat it? Hopefully you're not going to eat it. Now that you know what you know, it changes your direction, it changes your decision. And that's what's great about the Bible. It tells us a lot of things that we need to know so that we can live the life that God intended us to live. God is holy, and God has imparted His righteousness to us through Jesus when we believe on His name. But when we do that, we still have to strive to live holy. And so Paul's going to tell us three things we need to know. The first thing we need to know, in the last days, perilous times will come. And it goes on to list 19 different behaviors that we got to watch out for. What is the action when we know this? From such people turn away, verse 5. We're just doing a quick overview here. The second thing we need to know is in verse 10, where it says we need to know everything that we've been taught, all the doctrine that we've learned from other Christians, that we've learned from the Bible, that we've seen. And then, in verse 15, know the Holy Scriptures. You've known the Holy Scriptures. And it talks about that. I really want to dive into 15, 16, and 17, because there's a lot there. So I don't think we're going to get to that tonight, but let's look what we need to know so that we can choose to do right. Lord, thank you for tonight, and we thank you for your word. It truly speaks to us, and we want to hear from you. We want to grow in knowledge and understand so that we can make the right decisions in our life. Here we are, in each of our lives, we're at a juncture, and we need to make decisions, Lord. We pray that you would impart this knowledge to us, and that we can grow and understand and do the right thing and be holy as you are holy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Paul tells Timothy to know that he can turn away, first of all, from these group of people, or a person even, that he's going to describe here. There's 19 different descriptions, so he tries to cover it all. If we miss this, then we've missed it, because he gives us enough examples so that we can figure it out. Verse 1, but know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Perilous, what does that mean? Perilous, a condition in which there could be harm, death, destruction, or danger. That's what the dictionary says. Perilous. These are scary times. The last times, the Bible talks about this. We learned in Thessalonians that it's the days right before the Lord comes again. Right before we believe the rapture of the church and the Lord comes again. And it's scary. It's going to get scary. We talked a little bit about it in 1 Timothy. Men with itching ears. I mean, people with itching ears, and men are going to be teaching false things. We've got to really be sober, really pay attention to what is going on. The commentary says, you know, he believes, he wrote this a while ago, and he said, you know, I believe today are the last days. In today, you will notice that you're going to be familiar with a lot of the descriptions that he's saying, and you're going to be like, yeah, I know that. I've experienced that in my life. I've seen that today. I've seen people be like this today. I also believe this gives us an opportunity to check ourselves. It was, I don't know what time last night, but Sarah and I were having a conversation, and it was revealed that I struggled with one of these. I had an agenda, and we're going to talk about that. I was unthankful, and it turned into agenda. I'll share with that in a minute, but let's go through this here. Men will be lovers of themselves. There's a Greek god, Narcissus, and he loved himself so much. I've shared this story. We're not going to get in. Philosophers, psychologists use that. We're not going to get into what they all say. We're going to see what the Bible says about this, and we're going to see that it's really anti-Christ, anti-God. God tells us to love one another, love Him, and love one another. Right? The Christian life is simple when we break it down like that. Love God. Love one another. Nowhere does it say love ourselves. That's a natural thing that we do. We love ourselves naturally. If we get cut or something, we're going to nurture our wound until it's all better. It's how we're created, and it's also part of our sin nature. But this is an extreme case. Men will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Uh-oh. Does that get any of us here? Disobedient to parents. Unthankful, unholy. I wasn't expecting to get a raise. They said no raises this year. And in the past years, we've always got a raise. And every time we have a baby, I get a raise. And so God provides, and that's how we look at it. And then we found out we were going to get a baby, so I knew I was going to get a raise. But but it was a small raise, and I passed a test, and it should have given me more, and I became unthankful. And so this is where I noticed it in my own life. I became unthankful, where I'm like, I didn't get enough raise. What is this all about? And it was spiraling into not good. So to be thankful. Unholy. Here, I've been saying throughout the night, you know, God is holy, and so we need to be holy. Let's turn to Proverbs. Proverbs is kind of right in the middle of your Bible, right after the big book of Psalms. If you just close your Bible and open it right up, you should come to somewhere like Proverbs or Psalms or Isaiah. Chapter 6, verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and number seven, one who sows discord among the brethren. These are six things, seven, that God hates. And here we see it in 2 Timothy. We see some of these. Boasters, proud. Verse 3. Unloving. That can almost be categorized with men lovers of themselves. If you're loving yourself only and only caring about yourself, then you're not going to be able to love one another. Unforgiving. Slanderers. Without self-control. Brutal. Despisers of good. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Some of these, they're really obvious sins. They're really obvious. They're kind of in your face. Especially brutal, despisers of good, headstrong. I was talking to, we're dealing with the insurance, and we got our clothes cleaned, or attempted to get our clothes cleaned, and we didn't pay the bill. The insurance thought that they were going to pay it, and I thought that they were going to pay it, they thought that we were going to pay it, and they were going to reimburse us, so we didn't pay the bill. Nobody did. And so I get a phone call. We finally get the bill. I talked to a lady, and I said, you know, I didn't get it, and I think it's just a big misunderstanding. We'll pay for it because the insurance is going to pay us back. And she said, okay, so she sends me the bill. And then it says, we guarantee to clean your clothes, also you don't have to pay for it. And so, well, they didn't clean our clothes. So I'm like, so she calls back one day and she's like, where's the payment? And I said, I just have one question for you. Are you good on your guarantee? Are you good on your guarantee? And she just went off. It was seriously brutal, headstrong, haughty. She said, what do you mean you're not paying us? And what do you? And she was accusing me of all these things. You're saying that you have. It was really obvious and really, really scary. And I had to tone it down. And I said, I didn't say any of this. I'm just saying, are you good on your guarantee? I guess you're not. And she says, no, we're good on our guarantee, but let's talk to the insurance. And we finally settled it. And the insurance said that they would pay them because they wrote that they would pay them. So anyway, some of these are obvious. Some of these are subtle. But let's ask God to make sure that none of this is in us. And if it is, that he would reveal it. And here comes the good. There's a good part in verse 9 that we're getting to, that he does reveal it. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Denying the power of the Holy Spirit. This one gets the church, a lot of people in the church, where they're just coming and, you know, the Holy Spirit is not real, or the Holy Spirit is not active, or God's not powerful, or God can't move. These are lies that if they creep in, we're going to be in trouble. God is real. God is powerful. The Holy Spirit is moving and active. Let's watch out for these. From such, turn away. This is the action. From such people, turn away. Hey, if you see this, turn away from them. And this part always confused me. I've said this before, but no, aren't we supposed to reach people? You know, aren't we supposed to reach the sinners? Aren't we supposed to, you know, come alongside and evangelize? Yes, we're supposed to do that for sure. But here's the opposite and the balance. God of balance, and he says, you know, don't compromise so that you get off track. Turn away. Verse 6. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. And in both commentaries I read, it says this: the women can be women or men. You know, men can be just as gullible as women sometimes. led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. One more thing, jumping back to lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This one is really scary because it's really evident in today's, and it's really attacking. I know it attacks me all the time, and it's attacking everyone right now. We went to a football game. Nothing wrong with football. It was great. It was, my mom never got to go to a professional game at a stadium, so for Christmas, that's what we got her. And just going there, it was a sense of what, like, people were already done with the football. They're like, oh, everyone there, there's 85 people there. They're like, this is, I need to seek the next pleasure. And they were saying, well, where's the bars around here? Where's the next pleasure? And so we really got to be careful in our own lives. This one can get us. You know, hey, we like to have a good time. But in Christ and in God, He gives us all things to enjoy. When we seek Him, then He's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of all the fun and all the enjoyment that we can experience on this earth. And it's going to be much more than entertainment has to offer. You know, this is a big one with entertainment, sports and everything. Those things aren't bad in themselves. You know, we're going to the auto show coming up. That's not a bad thing. But to be seeking that and to be consumed by that is another. So let's be careful with this. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. Here's the good news, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Now, Jannes and Jambres, their names aren't specifically mentioned in the Old Testament. And so, scholar, this becomes a point of debate with how did Paul know this and is this accurate? We're not going to get into all that. One of the commentaries says, Spirit of God revealed it to him. Let's just take it at that. But these are true men that were with Pharaoh when Moses came, and Moses, by God's power, was doing all these miracles. His rod turned into a snake. He put the rod into the water. It turned into blood. And so Pharaoh would say, you know, oh, my magicians can do that. And so they would do it. But it was revealed, there came a point where they threw up their hands and they said, we can't do this. We can't do this anymore. We don't know. This is a power bigger than us. And they were revealed that they were not. They did not have the power, and only God had the power. Who has seen the Prince of Egypt? Prince of Egypt, the cartoon? I think it's depicted so well in there, and they have that song, like, Roth. Wanted to show it tonight, but they sing that song and they're like, we can do anything you can do, and they're pulling down all the shades, and it's depicted really well. But they get to some of the plagues and they're like, they're scrambling around and they're, you know, throwing red dye in the water to make it look like blood. It's going to be revealed that it's not of the truth. I heard today that Wicca is the fastest growing religion somewhere, North America or something. Did you hear that one? In the United States, Wicca. Yeah. It was just disturbing. So it's not where it's at. Trust me. It's going to be shown, it's going to be manifested that it's foolish. That's what it's saying here. Verse 10. Now, as a contrast to all this and all the bad, here's all the good. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, the doctrine, the rules that he lived by, the rules of the Word of God, his manner of life, how he walked each day. When you see someone walking in Christ, you see, now that's real. That is tested and proved. His purpose, his faith, his trust in the Lord, his long-suffering, his patience, waiting on God, not pushing your own agenda. That's what my problem was when I was unthankful. I was trying to push my own agenda. Give me a better job, Lord. But patient, waiting on God's timing. Love. Here we talked about the unloving and lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. But the opposite of that would be love, what Christ commands us to do. Perseverance, pressing through. Now here Paul tells it like it is. We've heard it this whole book. It's part of it. Part of the Christian life, persecutions, afflictions. We're not exempt from these. In fact, it may be more since we follow after Christ, which happened to me at Antioch. And Timothy was familiar with these, but he's just reaffirming this and saying, yeah, remember that time where I got beat and I got chased out of the city and I got shipwrecked. This could happen to you too. At Lystra, what persecutions I endured. He endured them all. But the Lord delivered me out of them all. Here he made it to the end of his life, and he's writing to Timothy. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Just a rule of God's kingdom. Here it is. He tells us like it is. Jesus said, in the world you're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And he'll deliver us out. Not, maybe not according to our what we would want, but he's going to make a way. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And this reaffirms what he says in the last days, perilous times will come. Dangerous. You know, I think of my children now, and it's like, where, you got to think so differently, think soberly. You know, where are they at? Who are they with? And just trusting God, but yet being sober and committing them to God, but also know this fact so that we can act on it. Men will go worse and worse. There's going to be imposters, wolves, deceiving people, and they're deceived themselves in self-deception. Verse 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Now that he knows, here's the action. Now that he knows what Paul's life was like, he knows, you know, these are all the good things to follow after. Continue in them. If you have a bad characteristic in your life, get rid of it. If you have a good characteristic that you got, if you're reading your Bible every day this year, continue in it. If you are praying more and more, continue in that. If you are following after what's good, continue in that. You have learned it, you've been assured of it. Isn't it neat when God says something and it comes true? It assures your faith. When God's word, actually, you see it actually play out and you see it lived out. You say, we read in Proverbs and we say, a fool or pride comes before a fall. And even Joshua, I'm sure you've seen that. Someone's proudful and then boom, they fall. But you've been assured of these things. Keep going at them, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. Let's read the rest. We're going to cover this, the end, next week in more detail, because there's a lot here. I don't want to miss it. From a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible shows us the way for salvation and beyond, to be saved and to be knowing that we're going to heaven. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is going to give us the direction we need to go. There was a conference at the church I grew up at, has a conference every 2 years, and they have it all around the country. And this year it was in Dearborn by Fairlane Mall. And it so happened that we were in Dearborn that night that it was going on. And so we're like, we know we got to go here. And the message was all about the Word of God. And I want to share some of the things that he said. But moving on into the new year and your life, how awesome the Word of God is and how it helps our lives and how it's the supreme authority. And I want to talk a lot more about that. We'll talk more about it next week, Lord willing. One verse I want to leave you with is Proverbs 4, 2 verses, sorry, 14 and 15. It says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." Don't go there. So now that we know that, it's going to hopefully produce the right action in us. So Lord, give us knowledge. Let's pray. Lord, give us the knowledge that we need to make the right decisions and the right choices in our life. And we do have a choice. Like Abraham and Lot. Lot chose the greener pastures of Sodom and Gomorrah, but in that he was vexed. His righteous soul was vexed. And he went right to the sin. But Lord, help us, like Abraham, turn away from it and not go near it, so that we can live righteous, so we can live pure, holy, with purpose, perseverance, faith, everything that you've said, and to cling to God's word, the truth of the Bible, and everything, all the wisdom that's there. And Lord, increase our knowledge and wisdom and give us favor, and we thank you. Help us be thankful for everything you've done and everything that you've given us. And we are thankful, and we do give you the praise, and in Jesus' name, amen.